As we prepare for God's message today, I'd just like for you to do something. Just where you are, would you please bow your heads? Just close your eyes. There's no need to be looking around right now because nothing's going to happen. Nobody's going to sneak up and poke you in the head or anything like that. But as we were singing, as we were sharing, I look around at this congregation. And this morning, we have those here who are physically suffering. The pain of the body, it just doesn't seem to go away. Or those who are suffering and maybe it's not just a muscle pain, maybe there's other things going on with their body that they don't like, and it keeps them from worshiping the way they want to worship this morning. Others here, as I look around and I think, there's relational issues. Friendships that are stressed. Loves that are hurting. Just issues going on in relationships that we wish wasn't there. This morning, there are those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. And the pain that goes with it, whether we know it's coming or not, that pain is real and it hurts. For others this morning, as you're here, you're concerned about finances. How am I going to meet my obligations? How am I going to meet my bills? How am I going to take care of the things that I need to? And that's heavy on your heart. And there's other issues that maybe even go further than that. And God, I know I was close. I know I walked with you, and I know you walked with me, and God, I know that you were there, and somehow I made a wrong turn, and I don't know how, I don't know what I did, but draw me close to you, Lord. And so as I pray this morning before we start this service, whatever you're going through, it may be parenting, and how do I parent at whatever age? Whatever it is, as I pray this morning and we prepare for the message, folks, my prayer is this. Lift it to God. Let it go. Do not let the enemy win. Because Satan would like nothing more today than to allow us to sit here and think about our issues and to think about the things that are going on. Especially when we have a Heavenly Father that is sending us over and over and over again that message, I'll take care of it. Have faith. Today, as we come together and as we meet and as we pray and prepare for the message, if we had spiritual eyes, if we had the eyes that could look into spiritual realms, we would see over this church today there's a battle taking place, and God's angels are battling with Satan's evil ones for you. If we could only see, God's angels will win. So as I pray, just lift it to God and leave it there. Heavenly Father, sometimes the burdens of this life just get us down. Father, sometimes we feel broken. We feel like we've turned every direction and done everything we can do, but Lord, it still hurts. The pain is still there, and Father, we need you to help us And so as we prepare for the service today, Lord, I just ask that you would come. I pray that the Holy Spirit would just sweep across this room, that those who are here who are suffering pain would have a relief from that pain, if nothing else, for the next hour or so. And Father, if your will, just take the pain away, that it would never return. Father, for those facing other physical issues, I just ask, Lord, that you would give them encouragement and strengthen them and help them to be able to go past this and know that you are God and you give us every breath, every heartbeat, that you're there, Father, and you know our bodies greater than we do. And Father, we pray that you touch bodies that might be suffering this morning and provide the healing for that. Father, for the ones who maybe are suffering and they're considering finances and how do I pay my bills this week and how do I do this and how do I do this, Lord, we just ask that you provide the way. It's those things we don't have answers for that's where you shine, because you have answers that we don't even know. Father, for those struggling with relations and relationship issues, whether it's with their children or any other relations they have, Father, we just ask that right now you would ease that they would be able to focus not on broken promises and broken relationships, but we focus on the one that has given us a promise and has formed a relationship with us that nothing can strip away. That's our relationship with Jesus Christ, where we walk with you every day. And no matter who in this world would turn against us, Father, you are always there. Let us rely on that. So now, Father, I pray that just for the next little bit, let your word be heard. And just speak to hearts and minds as we have this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God's timing. God's timing is sovereign. And we know that, but every one of us in this room, from time to time, we question God's timing. And we wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers when we ask Him to. You know, how many of us have ever prayed for something and your prayer went unanswered, or it wasn't answered in the way you wanted it to be answered? You know what? I have to raise my hand. I try to be very open and very honest. And I come and I talk to God about certain things. I say, God, take care of this. And He doesn't. And then I have to fall back and I have to remember that when God answers, no is a part of His answer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's just, I'm going to totally blow you out of the water and surprise you. Today we're going to talk about time. Something that I hear people over and over and over again say, I have too little of. I just can't get it all done. There's not enough time. Well, I want you to listen as I read a very familiar passage of Scripture, Ecclesiastes, if you're following in your Bible. Ecclesiastes 3, beginning with verse 1. Now, listen as I share this Scripture. Now, by the way, for those of you who like to say, there's not enough time in the day, this is where we get told that there is. There is a time for everything. And a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. There is a time for everything, and there is enough time for everything. As scripture I just read, a lot of people actually came to know that passage a few years ago, and they didn't even realize that they were memorizing scripture. A group called the Byrds, and a lot of you young ones probably don't even remember who the Byrds were or are, but they did a song called Turn, 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 and it was really Ecclesiastes that what they were quoting from. To everything there is a season. The writer of this scripture passage is Solomon. He's considered to be one of the wisest men that ever lived. In fact, God gave him a dream when he became king of Israel, and God said to him, Solomon, ask for whatever you want, and I will give it to you. If God said that to you today, what would you answer? Thank you, Ray. That's good. If God asked you that today, what would we answer? What would we say? When I was a young pastor, just kind of getting started, actually, and I went to into the ministry and went to serve at Hoannijoni, I'll tell you what, I was about as scared as I could be. Because all of a sudden, for the first time, I was totally responsible for the church, for the mission, for the people, for the congregation, everything that went on, and that fell on my shoulders. And I thought back, and I thought about this passage, and I thought about Solomon and his prayer. And so I prayed. And my prayer was, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom, not my own wisdom, but your wisdom to care for your people. Solomon, when God asked him what he would have, that was his reply. It was, Lord, he said, I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my job. The people I will be serving are too numerous to even count. So please, please give me wisdom. So God said, since you have asked for wisdom and not for long life or wealth, and since you didn't ask me to take care of your enemies, I will do it. I will give you wisdom, but I will also give you what you have not asked for, riches. And in your lifetime, there will be no equal. Well, Solomon wrote down the book of Proverbs. He also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And God carried out his promise. And I think that most of us would agree that when it comes to time and time management, we rarely have too much time on our hands. The problem isn't time, it's the management. Instead of managing it, we find ourselves pushed on a daily basis to get everything done. We try to take care of our to-do list. If there's any area where we need guardrails in our life, or it's in this area of time. And there's four things that I see here that God has to say about time, and I want to share those with you this morning. First of all, God's timing is sovereign. Now, what that means is that he's in control. His timing is special, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to use time and guide us with time. God's timing is sovereign, and we know that, but from time to time, we question it. We wonder why God doesn't answer prayers when we ask him to, and sometimes we just start to wonder about God's timing. Those questions, God, why? The timing questions, why the timing? Are hard questions, but I know this, God's timing is best. In fact, his timing is perfect. Scripture says it's sovereign. And so what does that mean? It means that God is in total control. Verse 1 says, there is a time for everything. It doesn't say most things. It doesn't say convenient things. It says there is a time for all things. And there's an appointed time in God's timetable for everything. It's obvious, but I want to say a few things about his sovereignty. God's timing and our timing are not the same, folks. Okay? He doesn't view things the same way as we do. And so until we learn to see things through God's eyes, we're never really going to understand his timing. We see things one piece at a time. God sees the whole picture. When I was very young, is in grade school, living in Moline, they always had the Christmas parade downtown. And we got to go downtown and we got to see the parade, and it was kind of fun. And what would happen, though, is I could never see enough. I could never see enough. So I would be trying to lean through the crowd and peek down the street, but I really couldn't see what was coming. I couldn't see what was down there. I could only see what was right here. I just couldn't see enough. And I was always curious about what's coming next. So I'd look as far as I could and try to see what was coming. It just didn't work. I couldn't see as far as I wanted to. Well, listen, God sees things like this. He sees things as if he's on top of the building. Now, this is your life, and God is looking at your life, and it's like he's on top of the building. He sees what is right in front of him, what's going on. He sees what has already gone on. The parade's moved on down here. And then he sees what is coming because he's God. He's sovereign. It's his timing. He can see it all at one time, and he knows. He knows what is coming. If you could get up high enough and have an aerial view of your life, you'd be able to see what just passed by you, and you'd see it very clearly. You'd see what is in front of you, and you would see what is coming. And you'd see it clearly, and you'd see it all at one time. So where are you in life? Where are you in this timing of God? What are you looking at? You know, we waste a lot of time looking at the past. Do you realize that? We waste a lot of time looking at the past and saying, oh, if I would have only done this back then. That's over. It's done. You can't reclaim it. You can't do it again. But you can make decisions in the now, at this time, that will improve the future time. If we're trying to live for the past, we're going to fail. You can't do it. We live realizing God is sovereign and his time is perfect, and that he gives us to us because he already knows and he has seen everything that's coming. And we're always saying, if I just would have known this was coming, I could have been better prepared. God says, I know. I'm sorry. God says, I know. I know what's coming. And one thing we know about God is that he's never surprised. He's never surprised. Because God's timing is perfect. It's sovereign. When you can see everything at once, there are no surprises. Well, God's timing is also sufficient. In chapter 3 there, we read that there is a season for every activity under heaven. And you may be in a place right now where you're wondering if God is going to show up. Your marriage is in trouble. Maybe you're on the brink of losing your job. Maybe you already have. Maybe your health is declining and you don't know what the outcome will be. Whatever your difficulty may be, I can't promise you that God's going to answer your prayer the way that you want him to. But I can promise that you'll make it through if you'll just hold on to Him. You'll make it. Grab onto His hand and just hang on, and you'll make it. Solomon says that there's a time for every activity under heaven. That's everything. God has a time for everything, and He's going to take care of you in everything. Not 99%, everything, because God cares about every detail of your life. You see, another thing about this verse, or that this verse does, is it speaks directly to everyone, and that includes me. I'm the kind of person that, first I have to say what I don't do. I'm not the kind of person to write down to-do lists. I just don't do that. But I constantly have mental to-do lists. And they're there, and I want to do them, and I want to get them done. And it bothers me when I don't get them done. I want to fix things. And then I read this in Scripture, and God says that I've got a season for every activity under heaven. Well, kind of a paraphrased version of that. God says, Dennis, you need to chill out. He ever say that to you? He will. You need to chill out. You need to take a chill pill because you're just way out of line. God said, let me bring every event into your life that you need in my timing. Let Him bring every event in your life that you need in His timing. God's timing is seasonal. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 2 through 8 again. And I want you to see where that fits with you. What season are you in? A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to mourn, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe the passage is not really about weeping and mourning and laughing and dancing. It's bigger than that. It's about God's timing, and notice this, birth and death, killing and healing, tearing down and building up, war and peace. You kind of see a pattern there? All of these are written in pairs, and they are all opposites, and they're all seasonal. This isn't just about picking up stones and throwing them back. The passage is describing all of the different seasons of life, because life comes in seasons. They're seasons of loss. And they're seasons of gain. And in whatever season we find ourselves, we must learn to live life to the fullest. In other words, I think God's time, in which I'm going to do, he's saying this is His time in which I'm going to do something in your life, and when I'm going to move, then I'm going to move on to something else. And that's why it's so important for us to know God's timing, because He's only going to be there for a short while. God's timing isn't going to leave you stranded. It's not going to leave you sitting there at the same place. It's going to be there for a short while, and then He's going to move on to something else in your life. It's that way in your life, and it's that way in mine, and it's also that way in the life of the church. And if we don't live in His timing, if we're not willing to change when God says change, then He's going to move on and find somebody who will. With God's timing, is surprising. One thing we can know about God is that He Himself is never surprised. He didn't create the world and then say, wow, I can't believe I did that. God never says words, I can't believe that happened. But you and I are often surprised daily because his timing surprises us. One man, sitting back, taking it easy, lying in the grass and looking up at the clouds. He was identifying all of the shapes when he decided that maybe it was a good time to talk to God. So he said, God, really, how long's a million years? God answered, well, to me, about a minute. The man asked, well, God, really, I got to get this concept. How much is $1 million? God said, well, to me, it's like a penny. The man said, well, God, can I have a penny? God said, sure, in a minute. We're not always ready for what God is about to do. And we can usually think of 1,000 reasons why we're not ready to do what God wants us to do. But when I look at these verses, and one of the things that jumps off the page at me is that our God is a very creative God. And his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And just about the time I think I have God figured out, he surprises me and takes me into another season of life. He works in ways that I never thought were possible. But then, again, I'm not God. He is. And that would be a great thing for all of us to get hold of. We need to stop trying to be God and learn to wait for his timing. We don't like to do that. God, I want it, and I want it now. Like we're directing the thing. God, I don't care about your timing, but my timing says you do this now. I'm not comfortable in this season of life. I want something better. This is not a good time. And God, answer my prayer. You know, sometimes God's got to be chuckling, doesn't he? He's got to be chuckling, like, who is he? You know, I made that? You know, where did he get it? But our seasons, God's in control of. I want to tell you 5 little guardrails here that we need to put in place when it comes to God's timing. Number one, there is a time for everything, but not everything at once. Did you hear that? There is a time for everything, but not everything at once. That's not the way God meant it. All of us need to learn to focus. We attempt too many things, and then we don't do any of them properly. Paul says this one thing. He says, this one thing I do, some of us need a to-do list, and that's what Paul was looking at. We need our priorities kept in place. Second, there is a reason for the season, and I'm not talking about Christmas. Keep in mind, seasons do not last forever, but let God do his work. Be patient. Oh, there's that bad word. Patient? You ever pray for patience? I'm not going to tell you not to do it because I think the Bible tells us we should. But when you pray for patience, be prepared. Be ready. Because patience is only learned through hardship. Patience is only learned through trials. And if you haven't had trials and hardship and temptations and challenges, you really haven't had an opportunity to wait for God to take care of it and to learn what patience is. This is a tough one. But there is a reason for the season. Third thing here, we cannot know what the future holds, but we can know the one who holds the future. You agree? That's kind of like, maybe I believe a little bit. Do you believe? God's in control. There you go. Good deal. Thank you. We can't know what the future holds. But I'm so happy I know the one that holds the future, and I can trust him with the future, and I can say, this is a bad season that I'm in, but God, I can come to you, and you can take me through this, and you can take me into the next season of life, whatever that is. I can't see it. The parade's way down there, and I can't get up high enough to see what's coming. But God, I know that you're in charge, and I know that you have my best interest at heart because your word tells me that you do. And so I'm going to trust you with it. And I know you'll carry me through this season and this time and this hurt and this pain. And better days are coming. We must give up trying to be God. Trying to take care of everything and everybody. You can't do it. That's God's job. And he has not surrendered that. We need to try to see the big picture. We're not God, but we can trace his hand in our lives. I go back in life and I look at the things that I've done and the places I've been. Oh my goodness. High school was one thing, and what I did in high school and the way I ran in high school, that was all one thing. That was a season of life, and part of that was good and part of that was bad. But because part of that was bad, I landed in North Carolina. Now, I'm not telling you the whole story here, but that's okay. But if I hadn't had the part that was bad, I wouldn't have landed in North Carolina. And if I hadn't landed in North Carolina, guess what? I would not have met the most precious woman in the entire world. And she would not be my wife today. All because I had to walk through a dark season and a bad season of life. And then a star came into my life. And coming up the 19th of this month, 42 years? Three. You weren't there. 42, right, Donna? 1976, 86. Yeah. My point is, God knew it all along. Thanks, buddy. I'm trying to recover here. Give me a second. Don, I love you, honey. Just don't hate me. But I can trace his hand in my life, and I can see where the things that he led me through, even when I wasn't really walking close to him, he had an outcome. There's a man I heard a story of. His name was Bruce Larson. And he tells how he helped people who were struggling. That was kind of his ministry. And he said this. He said, for many years, I worked in New York City and counseled at my office any number of people who were wrestling with a yes or no decision. Often I would suggest that they would walk with me from my office down to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. In the entrance of that building is a gigantic statue of Atlas. Beautifully proportioned man who, with all his muscles, he is straining and he's holding the world upon his shoulders. And maybe you've seen pictures of this. His Atlas is there and he's been over and his arms are up and he's got the world on his shoulders. And he's holding it up. And there he is, the most powerfully built man in the world. And he can barely stand up under this burden. And that's the way to live. Actually, it'd be a question, is that the way to live? He would point out to a companion. Trying to carry the world on our shoulders. Is it? Is that how we should live? We got the whole world and everything on our shoulders and trying to carry it at once. He says, then on the other side of Fifth Avenue is St. Patrick's Cathedral. And there behind the high altar is a little shrine of the boy Jesus. Perhaps 8, 9 years old. And with no effort, he's holding the world in one hand. He would say, we have a choice. We can carry the world on our shoulders, or we can say, I give up, Lord. Here's my life. I give up, Lord. You can carry it in one hand. I can continue to be broken down by the seasons of this life. I can continue to get weaker and weaker as this life continues on. Struggling, hurting, wondering about what comes next. Or I can just take all of this junk, this garbage, all of this stuff that really keeps me from walking close to you, God, and all I've got to do is just reach my hand out and say, here it is. Jesus says, no problem, I got this. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I guess the next question that goes with that, you know, where we say, I give up, Lord. Here's my life. I give you my world. The whole world. Because you can handle it so much better than I can. This morning, I'm going to ask you again to bow your heads and to close your eyes. Why do we do that? Because when we bow our heads and when we close our eyes, we are able to focus on us. We are able to see our world and to see what's happening in it. I'm going to ask you something, and I do really want everybody's eyes closed because nobody should be looking around. Nobody should be looking around. Close your eyes. Because I'm going to ask you a very personal question. And nobody else needs to see it. How many of you are in a season right now that you wish you weren't in? Just kind of lift your hand up. Yeah. And then just you can put them down. You don't have to keep them up. How many of you wish you could just let it go and give this season to God and trust Him to take care of it? Would you lift your hands? Okay. Because I want to pray for you. God already knows your heart, and He's already heard those hearts with the hands that were risen. And He knows your situation. So you're saying today, I give you my world, the whole world. Heavenly Father, we walk through so many seasons in life, some good, some bad. But Father, no matter what season in life we find ourselves in, you're always there. Always there. And when we can't go on, Father, you say, just let me carry you. When we feel like giving up, you encourage us. One more step. One more step. Just take one more step. And then, Father, the season changes. And sometimes we do. We move from one season of distress into another season of distress. But Father, we know that it's all going to work out because in the end, you've got it. And today, for each one that is here that lifted up their hand and said, yes, this is a season that I wish I wasn't walking through. This is a season of my life that I wish I didn't have to handle and I didn't have to carry. The weight of the world on my back is breaking me down. Lord, help. I give you my world. I give you this season. Refresh. Renew. Move me on into a season of life that I can rejoice and celebrate. Father, those who lifted up their hands and said, yes, I so want to see a change, let them see it today. Sometimes, Lord, sometimes a change in season comes from something as simple in a change in heart. Because at times, Father, we have to realize that maybe our heart's not what it should be. Change our heart that it would be like yours. That we would worship you and show love for you and for all who our brothers and sisters. This is your season, God, that we want to be doing what you want us to, and help us to accept it. Help us be able to move on past whatever a season we're in that holds us back. And Lord, I pray for those who lifted up their hands that they find peace at this moment. The Holy Spirit is living in each and every one who has received you. Holy Spirit, I humbly ask that you touch hearts at this time and that you provide comfort. Take us through this season and lead us to the next. I lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.